Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the ad hoc NSU Presidential Search Committee for February 6th. Before I go to roll call, I did want to just announce that UPD, University Police Department, is currently conducting a training session for active assailant preparedness in the Rogers Student Union. So we may hear alerts or shots fired, as they will be utilizing blanks. So just so you know in advance, there is training and testing going on right now. Winter, will you please take roll?
Chair Carvalho?
Here.
Regent Arascata? Regent Batista? Regent Downs?
Sorry, here.
Thank you. Regent McGrath?
Here.
You do have a quorum. Advisory roll call, Mr. Christensen?
Here.
Ms. DeBonis? Dr. Dockweiler?
Here.
I'm here.
Oh, Ms. DeBonis, thank you. And thank you, Dr. Dockweiler. Dr. Eastridge? Ms. Johns?
Here.
Dr. Martini?
Here.
Mr. Morris?
Here.
Mr. Muehlroth? Dr. Odie?
Here.
Ms. Pierce?
Present.
Dr. Robinson? Ms. Silva?
Here.
Dr. Tapia?
Here.
Dr. Thanki? Ms. Wallace?
Here.
Dr. Wright?
Here.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. At this time, we'll now do the Pledge of Allegiance, and Regent McGrath will lead us. Thank you. Before beginning, we take a moment to recognize that here in Nevada, we stand on the land of the Washishu, Washo, Numu, Northern Paiute, Nui, Western Shoshone, and Nuu, Southern Paiute. We take a moment to recognize and honor their stewardship that continues into today. With this recognition, we state an intention to rightfully include their voice and respect them as the 27 sovereign tribal nations of Nevada. I'll now move to item number one, public comment. Please be advised that there is an error in the meeting ID for the public comment information on the agenda. I will read the correct information into the record. For those who would like to call in and offer public comment, please dial 669-444-9171 and enter meeting ID 99284753091 and passcode 555555. Is there any public comment here at NSU? Seeing none, SES, is there any public comment on the phone?
There's no callers at this time.
Thank you. Then at this time, I will close public comment and move to, excuse me, item number two, minutes. This is for possible action, so I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the November 24th, 2025 meeting. I'll need a motion from one of the regents. I'm sorry,
Mr.
Christensen. No, that's quite all right.
Thank you.
From Regent McGrath, motion to approve the minutes of the November 24th, 2025 meeting.
Thank you, Regent McGrath, and I have a second from Regent Downs. Any other discussion? Seeing none, I'll take the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item number three, President's search process. At this time, I'll turn it over to Dr. Gabriel Esteban and Mary Kennard with Academic Search to discuss the search profile and their listening sessions.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My colleagues and I, Mary Kennard and Lauren, want to thank the Chair of the Board Presidential Advisory Task Force for this opportunity to find the next president of Nevada State University. For the first agenda item, we'll discuss the presidential search process. The first item is something you receive, which is the timeline, and it goes over the different steps. Last week, we did our listening tour, which I'll discuss in a little bit as I talk about the presidential profile. We're going to, after we're able to finalize that draft, we're going to start the recruitment and screening process. The goal is to have the ad out by February 16 at the latest. Obviously, the earlier, the better. And we hope to run it for 6 weeks with a priority deadline date of March 30. We're going to be recruiting and screening applicants during this whole time. And Mary and I will be visiting with potential candidates as they come. And the selection of semi-finalists will be done by the chair in consultation with the chancellor and Mary and myself. And the goal is to have the review and selection between the week of March and the week of March 31 to April 3rd. So it's going to be a tight timeline, but we expect to be reviewing candidates as they come in to begin with. The semi-finalist candidate interviews will be conducted the week of April 6th. It will be conducted by the chair in consultation with the chancellor and the search consultants, that's Mary and myself. The selection of the finalists will be done by Madam Chair, with the open forums scheduled for the week of April 27. In between the semi-finalist interviews and the open forums, the campus visits, we're going to be conducting comprehensive background visits and reference checks. That's all I have, Madam Chair, on the process.
Thank you, Dr. Esteban. Are there any questions or comments regarding the search timeline? All right. Then we will move right into item number 4, which is the president leadership profile. And for this, again, I'll turn it to academic search.
Again, Madam Chair, I'd like to thank the campus for their hospitality. We were here last Thursday and Friday, and we had 7 sessions total. We had 107 people show up for those 7 sessions. Afterwards, we also had a survey which was conducted by the administrative faculty, which was sent to us. It had 24 responses. We also had a few conversations after the open sessions, as well as a few emails. Based on those input, we developed the leadership profile. One thing which stood out in our minds was the passion of the people we talked to in the different sessions. The passion for the students we serve here at Nevada State, and the students' really sense of strong belonging to the institution. We met with everyone from students, outside faculty. I mean, it was a wide group of individuals we met with. And those two things were very, very evident. There was this strong desire to try and maintain what was deemed the family atmosphere at Nevada State. We heard from individuals who had been here 10, 15, 20 years. And they all expressed a continued commitment and wanted to see it grow. Based on the survey and our listening tour, we developed the presidential profile you see before you. I'll preface this by saying that it was a interesting and very challenging task, as one can imagine, because different groups had different expectations from the next president of Nevada State. And that's something which we tried to capture, all the different things we heard, and there were times when they were diametrically opposed views on what the next president should or should not be. So we tried to reconcile that as we move forward. And my colleague and I were just, I mean, the one thing which always stood out, as even as we listened to different groups, sometimes in the same meeting, say different things, you could still sense the passion for the place and the passion for the students. One thing which was abundantly clear was that faculty and staff wanted to continue to serve the students we serve and make sure that they succeed. So based on this, we also received information from the campus, from your marketing and communications. We were able to develop a presidential leadership profile. So the results of the survey would be in the last few pages of what you received, what was attached. And that would be the expectations for the presidents, for the next president, and the minimum and preferred qualifications. Madam Chair, do you want to go through the expectations or just open it up to questions?
I would like to just make it clear that the draft presidential profile is online. So if you would like to see it, you can go to the NSHE website, and under meetings, it should be just underneath the agenda so that everybody can see that if they'd like to follow along. But Dr. Esteban, if you'd like to go through those, I think that would be useful for us. Thank you.
Under expectations, the first is student success and retention. And this came from different groups. It talks about the need to drive initiatives to improve retention, persistence, graduation rates, with particular attention to underserved and first-generation students, and also meeting the students' basic needs. A number of the students at Nevada State are working, and they have some basic needs, everything from help with child care to just food insecurity. So there are a lot of basic needs which they were hoping the next president would be able to address. The next expectation is community-centric leadership. They hoped the next president, or they expected the next president, to continue to increase community and business alliances, strengthen legislative relations, and align the fundraising to mission. So that came in from a number of different sources, the importance of those types of relationships. The next was shared governance, transparency, and inclusivity. There's a desire for what they call through engagement and transparency, where there's give and take as there's engagement and the shared governance aspect. Also in decision-making, there was a desire that explaining decisions goes a long ways to making sure that people are on board moving forward with the institution, and also enhancing the culture and ethos. We heard the word of how Nevada State started, okay, and how it was a scrappy institution, and how it continues to be scrappy in a sense, even with the new buildings, even with the new facilities. But there are a number of individuals or groups we talked to who said they want to maintain that ethos, that it took hard work to get to where we are. We want to continue that ethos moving forward. Also, fiscal responsibility and sustainability. So this includes financial management, understanding of the funding structure here, also the formula, and look at alternative sources of funding. Also, the land development came up more than once, and also become versant what's already in motion. There was a desire to, we heard more than once, that there's a plan in place, and they hope the next president doesn't come in and start from scratch again, but instead look at what's going on and try and see if there are things which might be slightly altered or improved, but continue that trajectory that's already in place. Academic and enrollment. We heard more than one place that there's a desire that expansion comes of programs, academic programs, is done intentionally while aligning with workforce demands, and developing a faculty plan that examines full-time faculty hiring with a goal of enhancing academic rigor and quality. And this came from different groups, including the students and our colleagues on faculty, that too many classes were being taught by part-time faculty adjuncts, and it's impacting the students in ways which is detrimental to their success moving forward. So hopefully the new president is able to work with the leadership team on finding ways to address and find a plan to move that forward. Okay. Strategic and visionary leadership. So this is where it came in. You implement the strategic plan without reinventing, including managing growth, successfully executing campus expansion. There was a lot of talk of the North Las Vegas campus and what that's going to look like, how it's going to be staffed, how large it's going to be built out, and all of those things. And strengthening the brand. One thing which came up was, again and again, the brand of NSU right now is confused with that of a community college. And that is a challenge for the market that NSU is trying to serve. And actually, Mary and I, our experience was, because we take Uber and Lyft, our Uber drivers, Lyft drivers, didn't know that there was a university out here. They said, it's out here. Then they come to campus and they see these buildings. And I say, Nevada State has over 500 acres, about 500 acres, and they're shocked. But that shows a challenge maybe with branding, identity, among other things. But it's a young institution also. So that's some of the growing pains. While stabilizing leadership capacity and also accelerating key searches and filling those. We met with the leadership team, and there are a number, obviously, of interim position leaders in that role. So that can be a challenge, but it's also a great opportunity for the next president. Any questions or comments about expectations?
It looks like there are none, unless there are. Just give it one.
I had a question. But I can wait. I can wait till the end of this presentation.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Does it pertain specifically to the expectations, or because we can talk about that now if you'd like.
Yeah, it kind of does. So what I'm curious about, and I read through this, I didn't quite see it in here. Maybe it is there, and I just missed it, but. Is there a reference to the comfort level of this individual working with the collective bargaining unit?
That came up in a couple of sessions, but it was not overwhelming. Because I think part of it also is a number of potential candidates may or may not have experience with faculty collective bargaining. Most of the candidates we're probably going to attract will have experience in collective bargaining with other units. Faculty, it depends on the state. Some states do, sometimes some states don't. But it did come up on more than in a few groups. So,
should that be included in the description here?
We can include it in probably the preferred qualifications.
Okay.
Experience.
Thank you.
Thank you, Regent Downs. Any other questions or comments? Mr. Christensen.
Yes, in this last section where it talks about strategic and visionary leadership, but you don't want to reinvent anything.
Yeah.
I'm troubled by that because could that possibly cause someone to be concerned that they're not interested in new ideas?
I think the concern was someone comes in and just starts from scratch, which I'd have to say is a tendency for new presidents. If there's nothing, especially if there's not a plan in place, but our understanding was there are things in place already, which might need some tweaking, but not just start from scratch, because a strategic plan to develop will take at least 2 years, and I don't think there's appetite on campus to just start from scratch, per se. But look at the plan, see what's working, see what's not, but not reinvent it, so to speak.
Wouldn't that come out, though, during the interview process without somehow discouraging people from thinking that there's no open door here?
as we recruit candidates, Mary and I will talk to a number of candidates, and most of the stronger candidates will actually reach out to us, and we can talk about the wording of this and why it's worded this way. And there are quite a few presidents actually don't want to start from scratch in terms of doing it, because you typically will have to wait then for the provost to come in, because the provost tends to have a big hand. And if we're going to hire, if you're going to hire a president starting this summer, you're going to do a provost search, which will take probably another academic year, along with the CFO search. So you won't even get started with a strategic plan from now to another 2 years. And since the strategic plan here is based on the ENSHE, a five-year plan, and that's why there's something in place already, starting from scratch, by the time you have it up and running, it's going to be halfway through the ENSHE plan. So, I mean, that's something which we can explain, because we had, Mary and I had to explain it to candidates last year as we were recruiting for CSN. Because they were asking again about the strategic plan. And they said, we told them it was in process. And they were fine with it being in process. So.
Thank you. Dr. Martini?
Yeah, the only thing I would give for context here is our next three-year strategic plan is set to start July 1. So I think that's probably why ASC heard so much about not wanting to reinvent the search, because we have a very large committee that's been working for months and months and months coordinating the next three-year strategic plan for Nevada State. It is, if all goes well, scheduled to start July 1, which is hopefully when we would also be starting with the next president. It would be very hard institutionally to scrap that three-year plan and come up with something brand new out of whole cloth. So I think that's one of the reasons why so many constituent groups voiced concern about not ditching this process that we've spent the better part of a year collaborating and coordinating and getting public comment and public buy-in and public support for as we move into a new presidency as well.
Ms. Silva?
And as you mentioned, this came from a lot of the sessions as well. And so I think when we think of it in the student, they don't want to be shaken up and get the, you know, changes that they see. And so I disagree that it'll say that it's not vision, that they don't want new ideas. I think I'm comfortable with leaving it how it is, because it's an expression of what was told on campus, as you said, if there's the three-year plan, all these different things. Thanks.
Mr. Morris and then Mr. Christensen.
Thank you, Chair. I've heard, you know, the phrase a few times, we don't, you know, want to start from scratch. And I'm wondering if, was there any feedback that was based on the recent State of the University address that was given a few weeks back, I think it was mid-January, and sort of the vision and the momentum and the strategic planning that was articulated by the acting president. Did any of that come up?
No, and I'm looking at Mary. I don't think we heard any reference to the president and that strategic plan in the sessions.
Mr. Christensen.
Yes, what Dr. Martini said makes all the sense in the world. I think I'm just troubled maybe by the word reinventing, and perhaps there's a way to positively put it, that we have some great plans in place and we look for this new person to be able to enhance those initiatives that we have.
Okay. Thank you. Since this is for possible action today, Mr. Christensen, do you have a different way of wording that so that we can understand what it is that we'll be approving, or would you like Academic Search to just take your feedback and make that decision.
It's their document. I think that's probably a better way to approach it.
Okay.
I'd just like to see it more positive, because we have some positive steps to go forward.
Okay. What if we just say implement strategic plan that's scheduled to start July 1st? I mean, it's in the works.
I think that that's probably a better way to word that, and I see some support for that. So thank you. All right, so next we'll move on to minimum and preferred qualifications.
The minimum and preferred qualifications, so this was an interesting exercise, so to speak, in that there were different viewpoints on what the minimum expectations should be, as well as separating it out from the preferred qualifications. One of the minimum qualifications was a advanced degree, okay, not a terminal degree. That became a preferred qualification. There were some groups which said, no, it's not important to have a terminal degree. A advanced degree, a graduate degree should be sufficient. And that came out from more than one group, actually. And it came from surprising sources, I'd have to say. So that was one of the minimum requirements. The other was, which this one came out loud and clear, demonstrated senior leadership in higher education with a institution-wide scope preferred, with evidence of strategic execution, team leadership, and enterprise accountability. So senior leadership, there was a desire to have someone who served at the VP level. There was some question about what about a dean. More and more deans are becoming university presidents, whether it be dean of a law school, business school, engineering school, and so on. But the preference was still for someone who had campus-wide responsibility. The next minimum was ability to lead in a public governance environment and work effectively with a board of regents and system leadership. The third, the fourth one was very important to a number of groups, commitment to a teaching-forward, access-oriented, mission-serving, diverse first-generation and non-traditional learners. So this spoke to a number of different groups. I think all groups almost, I think all groups spoke to this, that the next president should know what a teaching institution is, a teaching-focused institution versus a research-focused institution, and that access was key to Nevada State, Nevada State's mission. And listening to staff, faculty, and the students, you could tell that there was a strong commitment to each other. And while the retention, persistence, graduation rates may not show it, the fact that they're improving shows a commitment to continued success for those groups. A record of ethical, transparent leadership and trust-building communication was also deemed as very important. Capacity to make data-informed decisions and clearly communicate rationale and impact to varied constituents was another minimum qualification. So those were what the group thought were the minimum qualifications. Madam Chair, any questions?
Are there any questions on this section? Dr. Martini?
Thank you, Madam Chair. One thing I just want to stress, I sent this out to faculty for their feedback, and one of the consistent refrains I've received from them, and one I happen to agree with, is the movement of terminal degree and teaching experience to the minimum qualifications. This is a teaching institution. Institutions that have 4-4 faculty teaching loads are rare, and it is a unique work structure that has a lot of different pressures on faculty, particularly pertaining to the ability to balance that teaching with research and service. Both of those research and service loads can get quite high when you're teaching 4 courses. And a terminal degree with the experience teaching at an institution like ours is, in the opinion of many faculty, a requisite for the next president who comes in here, because it's hard to make that adjustment from an R1 where you might teach 2 or sometimes only 1 class a semester to a system where your faculty teach 4 courses a semester plus incredibly high service load, plus research with students in particular. So I would like to advocate for the movement of the terminal degree with teaching from preferred qualifications to the minimum qualification. I would also like us to think about moving the second bullet point in preferred experience with guiding organizational maturation. Given that we are such a young institution, the experience guiding and maturing institutions to grow into what they need to be is, I would argue, a requisite for the person who's going to sit in the presidential seat for the next 5 years. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Martini. Yes, Dr. Odie.
I'd just like to echo what Dr. Martini said. I think it's just very important at this state in our university to have somebody come in with leadership that has credibility, that can gain the buy-in from the faculty. And I think that degree level and that experience with teaching is just very imperative.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Christensen.
I love our faculty. I have the greatest respect for you. My concern is I'd at least like the opportunity to look at other fields to lead this organization. Leadership takes a lot of different forms in a lot of different areas. For example, the way this is currently written, someone like a Kenny Gwynn or a Brian Sandoval wouldn't even be considered, and yet both of them had great success in higher ed. That's just something for you to consider. I understand the bias to want to do it this way, but in my mind, there are opportunities, especially given some of the financial and operational challenges that higher ed has, to at least consider someone in those with those characteristics and background.
Thank you. Ms. Silva.
I'd like to echo that without not being a teacher or professor, giving that opportunity to some more candidates to see what it is that we can bring in. If we're going off of this was from public sessions, so we also have to take into account that students were brought into this, faculty, a myriad of people. And as Mr. Christensen said, giving that opportunity, we emphasize access-oriented. And so that should also be reflected in this search. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Morris?
Thank you, Chair. I just had a comment that the NSHE handbook has a number of fairly detailed duties and expectations for institutional presidents. And I'm just wondering if you considered any of those as you were putting this profile together.
No, we did not look at the NSHE. What we did was we just got all the input from the different groups, and we tried to put together a document, so to speak. And we were guided by our search last year, which was slightly different. But one of the things which came up, and I mean, coming from the, as a former provost, chief academic officer for both public and private institutions, I understand the sentiment. By saying that you have to have a terminal degree and teaching experience, we're going to be excluding a VP Student Affairs, who might be perfectly, a number of VP Student Affairs have gone on to become university presidents, and they may not have the teaching or the terminal degree. They may not. And I've seen some very successful come up from different areas. Now, at the minimum qualifications level, our advice always is to you have a funnel, okay, and you want to have the funnel as large as you can for the minimum. Then as you go to the preferred, then you can start to narrow that funnel. Now, if we don't include, we can restrict it as much as this group desires at the top, but that also diminishes what happens further down the line. And I also understand guiding organizational maturation and so on. I was part of two institutions which grew very rapidly in a short amount of time. But that doesn't happen nowadays. You usually see now the other way around, shrink very rapidly over a short amount of time. So finding that would be great if we can find that individual who has that in their background. So the only caution I would have, Madam Chair, is that as we look at the minimum, keep in mind these are just the initial gatekeepers. Once you get to the preferred, then you start saying, okay, this person has this but not that. Okay, how can this person relate to what's a 4-4 teaching load if they've never been in a classroom? Okay. You also have to keep in mind that Nevada State is going to do a provost search also. And the provost search would be the chief advocate, or should be the number two on a university campus, and should be the chief advocate for the faculty and academics on this campus. Madam Chair, we'll do whatever the you want with it. We heard both sides, actually, of the argument as to what should be in the minimum versus preferred, advanced versus a terminal degree. It was not even evenly split. There were more who wanted, as a minimum, the advanced degree. There was also one suggestion, actually, which we didn't even include, which said, do they have to have a bachelor's degree? We said, okay, no, that's a little pushing it. And it's a Bill Gates argument, or whatever, the tech people argument. Right, so.
Quick follow-up, Chair?
Yes, Dr. Tapia.
Is there a way for us to balance the faculty concerns of the type of candidate that you guys just explained of understanding what we actually do in the classroom, right? And mm-hmm. I think as faculty right now, our greatest concern is that the academic component of this university has gone on the back burner mm-hmm. from leadership, right? So mm-hmm. we want a leader who's able to understand the true value of their faculty and what we actually do and bring to this institution. And so I think that is where we're coming from in saying that we want somebody who has that background, right? Okay. So is there a way for us to balance that?
Maybe
in this profile?
Yeah, maybe in number two, the demonstrated senior leadership, we can insert a clause about teaching experience.
Dr. Martini, did you want to respond to that?
I think that would be a welcome addition. I understand what you're saying, and I recognize the funnel perspective. I agree with Dr. Tapia about trying to sort of mitigate some concerns about how the funnel is operating. And I think the proposed inclusion of that in the second bullet point could be helpful.
Okay. So I'll include team leadership, enterprise accountability, and teaching experience.
Dr. Odie.
Can we just specify teaching experience to, like, what level?
Okay. University teaching?
Yeah, university teaching level.
Thank you. Any other questions? Mr. Christensen.
To me, the thing that's important is you have a president that understands the value of the faculty. It's hard for me to imagine that you could go through a search and find somebody that didn't appreciate that, but apparently that has happened. So I don't know how you get that in there. If we said like educational experience or equivalent as far as leadership, those sorts of things, that would at least open the door that there are other possibilities besides just a single background in academia. But, yeah, I'm really hopeful that you guys find somebody that understands this because they're treasures. Our son graduated from Nevada State, so we know.
Thank you, Mr. Christensen. Mr. Morris.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to echo those comments from Mr. Christensen. And, going back to the current NSHE policies mm-hmm. and the expectations for institutional presidents is it includes a list of things. And one of those things is that the president is to be the principal spokesperson for the campus, for example, in front of the legislature and other, you know, governmental bodies. And I think that is something that is, it's here, it's as a preferred qualification. I think that's critical for whoever's going to come in to lead this institution is the ability to understand that process, the ability to navigate that, to advocate for the institution in front of the legislature and other, you know, jurisdictions. And so I would just hope that these qualifications would reflect that, and that those other types of qualities are not lost.
Thank you. Ms. Pierce.
Thank you, Chair. I wanted to add in one thing. This is something that got brought up during the student listening session, but accountability for decisions, specifically student-facing outcomes, is something that was emphasized by a few other students, so I think that could be added in as well if it's not. Thank you.
Dr. Esteban, where would you suggest that be placed?
Would that be under the very first bullet in expectations?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, under the expectations for the president at the top.
Mr. Milrath.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho. So, you know, there's a, at the very beginning of this description, I don't want to overlook the opportunity. The student-focused outcomes, some of that terminology. I find the opportunity description really boring. And we have such an exciting campus here, the faculty, the students. And I think you talked about passion and used the term scrappy about Nevada State University. And that just none of that is captured in the opportunity. And I feel that, you know, that could be something that could be improved upon. Also that, you know, the potential for expansion of the campus, the work in North Las Vegas, the potential expansion right here, you know, that's just really exciting. That's opportunity, and that's enterprising. And, you know, having at least a sentence in there that might capture the opportunity that represents for the university is something I might suggest. It's brought up deeper down into the description, but you know, if we can find somebody that is student focused, faculty focused, but also has a little development background and is enterprising, I just feel like there could be more in the opportunity that conveys just the core that you talked about discovering in the interviews. So, thank you.
Thank you for that input. Yes.
Kinsey Wright, for the record. I agree with what others have said from around the table about whatever the person we bring in, whatever qualifications they have, they need to have a deep understanding of and commitment to the value of faculty. Since I joined Nevada State in fall of 2022, kind of the, you know, faculty have been deprioritized, and, you know, we're operating in a climate of low morale right now. So someone that can build that up would be a necessity, in my opinion. And also somebody that truly understands and values the academics. I mean, we are an institution of higher education, after all. And to Dr. Tapia's point, to an extent, academics have been placed on the back burner. We even see that in our draft of our strategic plan right now. So, you know, someone who both understands the value of faculty and the value of academics, because otherwise, what are we doing here?
Thank you, Dr. Wright. Regent Downs, did you have a question?
No, we addressed it a little while ago. That was an old text from earlier. Okay. But I would say, I mean, we should be probably open to, I mean, obviously I value people from the higher education space and leadership into this role. But we might consider, because we're not going to be part of the screening, the committee, we just get to the finalists. But it would be interesting to see if there are people, maybe even from outside, as referenced earlier about President Sandoval, who came into higher education from leadership and government, if that does provide, we see people like that in selecting our finalists here. So I'm curious to see what would happen.
Thank you. Ms. DeBonis?
Thank you. I was just listening to all the conversations about the teaching experience, and I wonder if there's a way that we can convey that we do want a person who values the academics and staff at Nevada State, because they are amazing, yet not necessarily state that they have teaching experience, because that could limit us quite a bit. And that's what I'm hearing the staff say, that they want somebody who values what they do, and we want that as well, but yet that's not necessarily stating, because that could limit us. And if the screeners know this is what we want, then maybe we can trust that they find out that information as they do their interviews. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to go to Regent Arascotta and then to Dr. Martini again.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wanted to follow the sentiments of the previous speaker, because that's exactly what I see Nevada State greatly benefit from, is a true leader, a leader that understands the campus, the Las Vegas atmosphere, who has great communication skills, but also has the capability of establishing effective working relationships, not just with the board, not just with the legislature, but most importantly with the faculty. And it's not necessarily, I don't see it's necessary for this future president to have a role or roles in academia or a foot in the classroom. Of course, they have to have knowledge about it, but a true leadership, a communicator, a partnership builder, somebody who can engage with the community, learn the roles of the legislature, or be knowledgeable about the legislature and the functions, the benefits of having NCHE and the key stakeholders. It's imperative that this person is well established in the Las Vegas area, and they can communicate some of the strong values of Nevada State University, the values, the mission, the strategic goals, the strategy to all the key stakeholders of Clark County, of the South, of the state of Nevada, but most importantly, with the faculty and with the legislature. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Regent Arascotta. Dr. Martini.
I appreciate the conversation that's happening. I just want to point out a couple of things that probably need to be added into the profile. In the Nevada State Academic Schools section, for our School of Education folks, the EDS and school psychology is missing from that section. And then for our friends in School of Nursing, their MSN is also missing from that section. So I just want to make sure that I understand that we sort of use older profiles to develop new profiles. I just want to make sure we're updating those sections to include new programs that have been built in the time since the two presidential searches. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Dr. Tapia.
Can I also add up to that the School of Liberal Arts and Sciences is actually Liberal Arts and Science and Business, LASB, not just LAS.
Thank you. Dr. Wright.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Since we're talking about corrections to the profile, on page 2, the third full paragraph, the information is incorrect about the first Title V grant in 2020. The actual first grant was 2017, and that was in the amount of $2,748,767. The 2020 grant was the second grant, and that amount is correct. And then also, when we are looking at the School of Education, in the first full paragraph, it says speech pathology lab. That should be changed to clinic. under education majors, we need to add an elementary and bilingual education option, as well as an EDS in psychology under the graduate degrees. School psychology, I'm sorry, not educational psychology. And then also we need to delete the part about and works collaboratively with the Clark County School District on an alternative pathway to a K-12 teaching certification, that part. That formal partnership ended in, I believe, 2023. And we are currently working on another alternate route to certification program, but that's factually incorrect to say we have that partnership. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Dr. Esteban, did you... I'm sorry. Dr. Tapia.
I just want to... I don't want to say push back a little bit on what Regent Erskine has said, but if we are going to have a leader in that profile, then I'd like to see somebody who's able to develop a leadership team within the university that's going to be able to handle the needs of the university if they're going to be so community outward focused, right? I think what we've seen with our prior leadership is a destructure of understanding what this university is, right, and changing our leadership style into more of a community college-based leadership style instead of what we need here as a four-year institution. So somebody who's able to build up a team to understand what we truly are then, if they don't have that experience that we're asking for.
Madam Chair, may I follow with Dr. Silva?
Yes, please, Regent Erskine.
Thank you. And this is not just directed to yourself, Dr. Silva, but I just want to get a grasp of what we're saying. So are you looking at a person that is well-rounded with Nevada knowledge, the relationships between Nevada leadership and the Nevada system of higher education, a community builder, a stakeholder in the community, some of that has the acumen to perform this job, but yet the capabilities to be a communicator and elevate the relationships between NSU, the other universities and colleges in the South, in addition to the North and Carson City?
Not necessarily. What I'm saying is, you know, they've mentioned that the provost is supposed to be the number two position at any university, right? And I think, in a general sense, the faculty here don't believe that. I think they've diminished the role of what the provost is. So bringing in a leader who's able to structure us into the type of university that we are and not a community college or not I'm trying to figure out how I want to say it. Somebody help me. Pete. I'll defer to my colleague.
Dr. Martini, and then Ms. Silva.
So I agree with Dr. Tapia. I hear what Regent Erskine is saying. I think the concern here is probably twofold. One is the faculty and I think many of the professional staff here are leaning towards someone who can grow the ability to work with the legislature and the other schools in the state of Nevada, but not necessarily someone from the state of Nevada. There's a lot of benefit from pulling in institutional knowledge from outside of the state. There are many systems of higher education that are laboratories of ingenuity and entrepreneurship that we can gain and learn from. And I think that that's what is going to position Nevada State best for the next 5 years. I do think that we don't necessarily need someone who's been a former provost, but who can reinstill the fact that the classroom and the students are truly what comes first when we think about budget, when we think about positioning, when we think about program development, the students and the classroom experience, the professors who guide that classroom experience, who develop the curricula, that they are the heart and soul of this institution. And that message has been diminished over time. And so I think what we're looking for is a leader who has shown the ability to carry that flag, who can come into Nevada and grow our institution and reform those messages and bonds while learning how things operate in our state with the legislature, with NSHE, with our sister institutions and DRI.
Thank you. Ms. Silva.
I just want to say, as a community member and as an alum, I'm very sad to hear in a meeting where we're searching for a new president that there is low faculty morale, because that's certainly something not something I've heard from students. So hearing it here in this open meeting where we are, again, searching for somebody that we are enticing to come and continue a plan, and then once we're already saying we've already worked on a plan that will be starting in July, to me, that's very, and again, I'm not a professional. I'm not, I run a nonprofit organization, but I'm just very concerned with how this is all kind of playing out. And how it's being heard. I think more than anything, my priority, like I said, Nevada State University gave me an opportunity. I've been very open. UNLV denied me entry many times because of my status. My heart is at Nevada State University. And I want a person who's going to lead. I want a person who's going to come here and give our students the best opportunity possible, which we have seen in the past years, the growth. 8,400 students, those are our fellow Nevadans that are going to go out and live in our communities, provide for our families. They're the ones that we're going to have to, they're going to be here. And so I am a little, again, like Dr. Tapia said, I don't know what the words are, but I just want to point out that I'm not here to say somebody should, somebody shouldn't, but we are here to provide this guideline to get people to come in to interview. And if we're putting so many obstacles up front, I think that's really diminishing the ability of us to bring the best person possible in a very difficult time to lead a university. Regardless of what any of us at this table feel, it's a very difficult time to have a university. And one of the things is I'm getting students every day that are telling me they're not going to go to college because their families can't provide it, because they have to now work, because we are in very difficult economic times. And so I just want to think for all of us, how is this going to move us forward rather than kind of what we're feeling at this moment? Not as again, I don't want to say adults because a lot of our students are adults. I was 30 years old in college. But we do have to make this really big decision. And again, I'm not placing the right words, but I just want to make sure that we are giving the most opportunity for the best candidate. We've already, Mr. Christensen gave us really good examples of other presidents that have come in without having some of these academic backgrounds. So why not open it? And then we have trusted a company that is going to interview them, that is going to go through them and screen them. And we are putting in all of these things that we really want. And I think that we should also have that trust that the screening process is going to be done that way.
Thank you. I'm going to go to Ms. Johns and then Dr. Dockweiler.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to echo a lot of the same sentiments that Ms. Silva and Dr. Martini mentioned. I think I represent professional staff, so our administrative faculty here is about 180, 190 of us. I think in terms of specifically just going right off of what Ms. Silva said, so teaching experience, I think from an administrative standpoint, I agree. I think if they do have teaching experience, that can be a proverbial cherry on top. But I think what really matters the most most and gets to the same sentiment is that someone who truly cares about our students and cares about our mission and wants to push us forward. And with that being said, based on what Dr. Martini said, I think from an administrative standpoint, we're also open to leaders outside of Nevada, which is why we wanted a national search firm and not a local search firm. If the best candidate happens to be from Nevada, that's great. But if they're not, that's great too. I, again, think there is a lot to be learned from other educational systems around the nation. I come from the Wisconsin and the Illinois state systems. I'm not saying they do everything perfectly either, but I think someone who can infuse some of that knowledge may be helpful. I also think in terms of this external work, we do need a president who can kind of balance both, right? Like, I don't think we're thinking on a spectrum of they need to be here, they need to be here, but somewhere in the middle. Because while it is important that they understand how to develop the relationships with the legislature, with the regents, with the chancellor, with the general community at large, I do think that if we don't have someone who also has an intentional focus on institutional maturation, that we are going to just continue to struggle to build, right? We've had this accelerated growth, and that has been great, but often that growth, a lot of those things happen, but not a lot of the systems are always put in place at the same time. So we need to just make sure that we have our foundational policies worked out. We just instituted a policy on policy for the first time in 20 years, right? I think we need to work through some of those quote-unquote kinks and make sure that we're operating efficiently, that people are feeling comfortable with their roles and with relationships with leadership. Again, at the same time, building external relationships, but I don't think that that can be the only, or that's not the only important piece of it. Because again, I don't think we're going to be able to grow until we work on some of that, some of those internal pieces. So thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Dockweiler.
Thank you, Chair. I'm so grateful to be having this honest conversation because I think it will only ultimately benefit Nevada State University and the students and faculty who and staff who work here. I'd like to loop back to Mr. Christensen's comment about making sure we do cast a wide net. A lot of the conversation sounds like things are very binary. It has to be this or this, this or this. And so if we can kind of pull that back and just say, just cast the net as broad as possible, I think that that will be in the best interest of everyone ultimately, because all the little nuanced pieces can be teased out during the interview process in different parts as this moves along. And I, one thing I would offer that could be added in here in terms of the qualifications, what I'm hearing a theme is lack of trust. And so perhaps someone who has demonstrated ability of rebuilding trust on a campus or within a community that might be helpful as part of the qualifications for this individual.
Thank you. All right. I don't see any other comments or questions. This agenda item is for action. So the way that this has been written is that Academic Search will present a draft NSU President Leadership Profile for review and discussion by the Search Committee, and the Regents Committee may approve the draft profile or direct the consultants to review the draft based on comments received at the meeting with final review and approval by the Search Chair. So that is how we would pursue the changes that have been requested. But I just, before we ask for final approval of this, I just wanted to be sure that I'm giving ample time and opportunity for anyone to make any other suggested changes to the profile. So, seeing none, I would ask for a motion to approve the President Leadership Profile with the caveat that the changes will be taken into consideration and final approval will be approved by the Search Chair.
So moved.
Thank you, Regent Downs, for that motion. And I believe a second from Regent Arascotta. Any other discussion? I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Thank you so much for this robust discussion. I think it's very helpful moving forward with the president leadership profile. The next item is the advertising plan. So I will turn it over again to Dr. Esteban.
Madam Chair, you should have received an attachment which has the proposed advertising venues, which includes where we typically would advertise a position like this. We have the first chair and the second chair. We recommend the first chair. We'll select a few from the second chair, depending on how much we want to spend on it, but just to make sure we cast a wide enough net. And we'll work with the campus, because sometimes campuses have discounts or they have their own relationships with either the Chronicle or Inside Higher Ed or one of those venues. So we'll work the campus and see what we can do. But this is what we suggest. We'll also do more of our own recruitment. We have a database where we'll send out emails to prospective candidates. Our experience, at least myself and I know Mary, our experience has been that we're finding more and more candidates, they respond more to the emails than the ad. I mean, one of the searches I did, I had 90% because I asked them just, where did you hear about this position? It was the outreach we do. And we're also on, we use social media. We use a number of different media sources now. So this is what we recommend. We expect a robust pool for this because it's a very attractive location, nice mission. And we actually have started our outreach already, Madam Chair. Personally, myself and Mary have already reached out to potential candidates for this position based on our networks.
Great. Thank you. So I'll open it up for discussion. Would anyone have any suggestions on the search profile? I'm sorry, not the search profile. The advertising plan or any questions for academic search? Seeing none, I would ask for a motion to approve this advertising plan.
Madam Chair, Regent McGrath, motion to approve the advertising plan.
Second.
Second.
Thank you. I have a motion from Regent McGrath to approve the advertising plan as stated, and a second from Regent Bautista. Any other discussion? Seeing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Thank you so much. Item number 6, new business. Is there any new business for the committee? Hearing and seeing none, I'll move to item number 7, public comment. Is there any public comment here at Nevada State? Seeing none, I'll move to public comment on the phone. SCS, is there any public comment?
There's no public comment at this time.
Thank you very much. I just want to say thank you so much to the regents and especially the advisory members that are here with us today. I know it takes you from your everyday work, so I do appreciate you being a very integral part of this process. So at this time, I will adjourn this meeting at 10:08. Thank you.